My girls have reached an age where in school, they have these things called friend groups. Have you heard of this before? I think I've used it as a quick illustration once before, but not to this degree. Friendship groups in their middle school. Have you heard of this? Our middle school families aren't here. Some of them are. Some of you all remember when your kids were in middle school. Yes, these friendship groups. Terry and I recently had dinner with a couple whose daughter is in my daughter's friendship group. And we were kind of talking about it. And so we asked, do you know anything about these like friendship groups? And they're like, oh yeah, we know all about these friendship groups. I was like, what is this? What is going on here? We've heard horror stories about girls getting kicked out of their friendship group. I mean, how do you get fired from your friends? You know, what is that? One day my youngest daughter was describing one of her friends that got kicked out of her friendship group. This is recent. And she was talking about it, and this girl was like kicked out of the group. She's out on the streets, you know, in middle school, and for herself now in the lunchroom. It's terrible. I said, sweetie, we are Christians. Jesus extends his fellowship to all people. We are all in the same friendship group. And that friendship group is the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. And she's like, oh, yeah. Couple of days go by, I pick her up for an allergy. And my daughter came into the car very sad. I was like, what's going on? This is the worst day in middle school I have had. Ah, this is awful. And I said, what happened? And she said that she had a falling out with one of her friend groups, her friends. And she felt like isolated and alone. And that there were other people that were also ganging up on this situation. By the way, this happened last week. This is very, very fresh. I thought this is a sermon illustration because it's the woman at the well. I said, wouldn't it be great if one of your friends right now reached out to you and kept your friendship going? Made you feel like, you know, you're still friends. Don't worry about it. Despite all the drama, we're still friends. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, that would be so, so great. I said, well, that friend is you. She was like, what? I was like, yes, that friend is you. Remember a couple days ago when your friend was kicked out of her friendship group? Your friendship group? Remember that? Yeah. I was like, and I said, we were Christians. No one is outside the fellowship. Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, that's right. So now you know what it's like being on the outside. Yep. Isn't it great that you have this lesson, an opportunity to see what it's like? This is great. So, yeah, I guess it is. In this morning's lesson, Jesus is thirsty, and he finds this well nearby, and it's the sixth hour, which is super important. The way that they do the hours in the day is the sun up hour, that's hour one, when the sun comes up, and 6 hours later we put it around noon time. This is what it is. It's noon time. In the middle of the day, it's burning hot. Which is a problem, right? If you're going to go out to get water in the middle of the day, bring it back to town, you don't want to do it in the middle of the day when it's at its hottest. So Jesus is out there, and he's going to go out and draw water. And behold, a Samaritan woman is out there. Jesus expected probably to be alone, right? Because nobody draws water at this time of day. But Who comes out there? A Samaritan woman shows up. All by herself. No friend group. That's weird. Why is she out there by herself? Oh, I don't know. She had personal issues. And no one wanted to be seen with her. All right, okay. So Jesus thinks, but why would your husband allow you to walk out here unattended? Why would he do that? That's weird. So the plot thickens. They have this dialogue, this conversation about drawing water from the well. And Jesus talks about living water and the power of the Holy Spirit coming from God alone. It becomes a theological conversation. She says, give me this living water so that I no longer have to walk out here and draw water. I'm putting this in shame under these conditions. Jesus says, bring your husband here. And she answers, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you are right to say this. The woman right in perceiving that Jesus was a man of God. Jesus says, the time has come for all people, not just the Jews, not just the current established church, all people included into God's community, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. She says, she believes in the coming Messiah. And all will be gathered together and hear the word of God. She believes. And Jesus says, the one that you believe in, that one is me. What you didn't get from the reading is, I know it was a long reading, but there's a whole lot more to the story. The disciples eventually come back. If you read further, the disciples come back and they return, and they're shocked at Jesus. They're like, what is he doing? Talking to that woman of the night. And she's a Samaritan on top of that. As if that wasn't enough. What's great about Jesus is he asks her for water. He must have had a plan for getting water. But he asked her for water, engaging in a relationship of sorts to show that she was valuable, that she was an equal person on an equal plane. So the disciples are just baffled. She gave him water. She's a Samaritan. You're not supposed to drink her water. Right? So they're shocked that he's even talking to them. Eventually the townspeople come out. When they hear about this story, they run out there to see this great teacher for themselves. Now, instead of one Samaritan, we have a whole town who has joined the movement. There's a Lent theme in this passage, and I know why they put it in the Lent season. There's definitely a lesson here for our Lent season. Lent is a time for preparation for death, preparation for the resurrection of the dead. It's the time of year that we focus on that. And we imagine our own resurrection into the life of the world to come. And Lent gives us a chance to move away from seeking satisfaction in the flesh and in the temporal and start to focus our attention on the spiritual and on eternal things. Power of the Holy Spirit. Lent can be a spiritual awakening. This is why people give up things for Lent. They seek that. A spiritual awakening, very first sight this woman and by the townspeople that came out. One thing we're reminded of is that heaven is a very large fellowship and community of God that is 100% filled with redeemed sinners. Heaven is a collection of redeemed sinners. That's what heaven is. Oftentimes we forget that. We trick ourselves into believing that heaven is a place where everyone and everything is to our perceived liking. We forget what the redeemed sinner part of heaven might actually look like. Who might be with us? We forget the grace required to coexist with such people. We talk a lot about God's grace, but what does that actually look like? Can we live in a place where God's grace reigns supreme? To other people as well. Are we comfortable with that? Are we willing and able to welcome the Samaritans in our lives into our friendship? How are we going to do that? What's going to move us to do that? It's kind of what I told my daughter in so many words. Actually, Paul says it best in Romans. Your Romans passage, he words it better than I would word it. So I'm going to use his words. It's kind of what I told my daughter. Let's hear it from Paul. We Christians rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we actually rejoice in our suffering. Why? Because suffering produces endurance. You're going to need that. And endurance produces character. Doesn't it? And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. And this is the most important point out of all of it. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But God has given us with faith in him. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Many might line up to protect and care for a really great person. Sure you would. Even good people are worth caring about. But Christ died for the most hated and the most despised people on earth and included them into his fellowship for those who believe. Let me say it again. While we were yet sinners, Christ died.